at this point, we got like 8 employees, and it's enough motivation for me to want to perform the best and show up and give them their paychecks and bonuses and tips and like all these great things so that they can also, you know, I want them to do eventually like their own thing. If they were inspired by what we were doing and they're like, fuck, I want to do my own thing and I've learned so much from you guys and you guys never held anything back and you guys share the numbers and kept me up to date and I saw your organizational skills and your leadership skills, like that to me is like enough to be like, fuck, I'm going to show up every day and do my best.
What's up? My name is CJ Finley, and this is the Thrive on Life podcast. I started a brand called Thrive on Life to help other mission-based people, brands, and businesses thrive. Each week, we interview people on topics of business, health, relationships, mindset, and much more to help us thrive in all areas of life. If the messages in this podcast resonate with you, but you're still feeling a little bit stuck in actually implementing these ideas, I'd love to help you on a more personalized level or connect you with somebody that can. So please reach out. Also, if you've got a friend who you know could benefit from hearing this episode, please share the love with them. My goal is always to spread positive impact through the sharing of knowledge, and I would be honored if you could help me achieve this goal.
Today's guest is Isaac Huerta. He's an entrepreneur who owns 3 bike shops on the coast of California. Currently, he's on a mission to provide the highest quality service within his businesses while also leveling up his capabilities as a man of God. He also thrives on his passion of helping others by providing job opportunities that he knows can lead to bigger and more meaningful lives for the people he employs. Isaac has an awesome story to tell about coming to America as a teenager and completely transforming his life to not only support himself, but help support others around him. And I am stoked I get to share part of his story here today. Please welcome to the show, Isaac Huerta. What is up, Thrive fam? CJ Finley here again with another episode of the Thrive on Life podcast. And today we're going to be talking with Isaac Huerta. He is an entrepreneur and business operator outside of California. But me and Isaac go way back. He's one of the first people I actually met in Austin, Texas. And back then he was doing a lot of different things in Austin that he completely pivoted to then literally escape Austin, go out to California and start a lot of new things. So I'm excited for this conversation. I rarely do this, but because you have such a unique path, I'd love to give you the floor to kind of just describe like how you ended up in California and feel free to flow from wherever you want to start and then wherever you want to end up.
Yeah, for sure. First of all, I just want to thank you, CJ, for giving me a platform, an episode in your podcast. I've been following you for many years now, and you've been probably the most consistent person that I've seen of everyone. And I don't follow many people. And the few that I do follow, most of them just, you know, friends, people fall off, but I've seen you be so consistent with everything and you've been a huge inspiration to me. I'm always trying to support everything that you do, give you a like here and there. But thank you for bringing me on and just allowing me to do this. So to give people a little bit of a background story on me, how I got here to Cali, like you said, it's been a 13-year process. When I was 13, I was born in Mexico. When I was 13, I moved to the United States. And I tell people that my parents sort of dropped me off here. And it's not to say that, you know, they didn't want me in Mexico, but they just wanted to provide a better life for me, as most immigrants think. And I came here not knowing English. Most people have a similar story that come here not knowing, they didn't know English, they go to school. And I was just sort of trying to start a new life in a new country. I had family members here where I stayed, and I was just bouncing from house to house, from an uncle to an aunt, from a cousin to another cousin. And to me, that was just, I thought it was normal to just live a lifestyle where I'm trying to make something happen and I'm going to have challenges along the way. But I came with the focus of trying to play basketball professional. And obviously, as a short Hispanic kid, my dreams soon died after seeing how tall these white dudes were. And just trying to play basketball. And I remember in middle school, I didn't know that sports were seasonal, because in Mexico, you played your sport all the time, and that was just it. You had no, like, soccer during one season, basketball in another season, baseball in another season. So when I got here and they told me there's no basketball yet, right, because first is soccer, I was like, well, I want to stay in shape and I want to not lose the endurance that I've been building and just do something, because all my life I've been playing sports. And my brother was like, why don't you try soccer just to stay in shape? And I was like, you know what? That's a good idea. Obviously, I went through, probably not. I've never played soccer, organized soccer. I don't know what position I should be playing. And he's like, you know what? An easy one would probably be right back. You know, you just play defense, chase the ball, take the ball away from players. And I told him, all right, let's do it. And I just tried out for the soccer team. In middle school, I got here in eighth grade, and I remember my first tryout and being super nervous, not really knowing how to play soccer. But I've always had the athleticism. I was always fit. I was always fast. I was always strong. I could always jump. And I guess the coaches just found an interest in that, even though I didn't know, you know, the tactics and the fundamentals. I just played hard, and I got the position as a right back. And that turned into, you know, me finding a community of friends on the soccer team, because I didn't know English. So to me, it was very important to just feel like I could fit in. And on, as you know, I got here to Indiana. That's the part that I missed. Goshen, Indiana, all the way up north, snow, corn. And there were so many Hispanics on the team that I just felt like I fit in. And I was like, okay, I could do this, and I could just find friends, and then I'll play basketball. So then I did that. Then I played basketball, was really into soccer and basketball, won a bunch of awards middle school for the sports that I played in. And then in high school, I went to Goshen High School and continued to play soccer, continued to play basketball. My junior year of high school, I was battling with, to be honest, I always tell my parents and family, I feel like at this point in my life, I'm doing so much that my brain just sort of deletes like old memories and just things from the past that I just don't recall things too well. And people like, oh my gosh, I can't, like my parents, they say, you don't remember that? Like in high school? And I'm like, honestly, like I don't. Like I just feel like my brain sort of just says, you don't need this right now, and focuses on what I'm building right now, the future. And so I'm trying to recollect like all those memories. But I think that in my junior year of high school, I was overwhelmed with everything that I had going on, and soccer was giving me a lot more. Also on the basketball team, everyone was, you know, American white, and I felt like I couldn't really connect with them. We weren't hanging out outside of school, and on the soccer team, it was more like a family. Everyone was hanging out after school. I had all my friends there. And my junior year, I quit basketball to focus completely on soccer. And I tore my ACL like before quitting basketball. So that just sort of also took me out. I wasn't feeling it anymore. And it took me a year to come back. So my senior year of high school, I didn't have basketball. I just went all in on soccer. And that's the year that I was named All-American. We won the state championship for our school, which was like, it never happened before, even in other sports. And it was just like this monumental moment for me to believe, to see the power of working as a team with people and seeing how the belief, because back there in that community, soccer was everything. Like I said, it's a community filled with Hispanics. And we always had the challenge of, oh, you guys make it far into sectionals, regionals, but then we choke, right? Classic Hispanic mentality, right? Of like, oh, we do so well, but then when it's time to perform, like World Cup, right? Like Mexico, and like we choke, right? So we had that type of mentality. And then just growing up with these friends that I had and always having that, seeing that from people that were older than us, and believing, no, we're going to make it different and we need to stay united and work together as a team and hang out outside of soccer and be build the chemistry, right? And then that was just a monumental moment for me to see the power of belief, the power of hard work, the power of teamwork. And I got a scholarship to play in college, a full ride in my community college, Goshen College. And I went to college, did 1 year. I was studying business, and then I switched to accounting and a minor in business. And that's when I really got close to my brother. He's like a brother to me, Jesus, but he goes by Max. So anytime I say Max, it's, I think, did you ever meet Jesus back in Austin?
Yeah, yeah.
So
and then you start Max calling him Max. I'm like, where the hell did that come from?
Sorry, my Siri.
It's all good.
So then that's when I got close to my business partner, my brother, Max, and we sort of started talking about doing different things. I remember we were so into soccer still and playing soccer in college, obviously, that we started thinking, can we open an indoor soccer facility? Because indoor soccer was huge in our community. And we just started plotting and thinking about starting our own business. And that led us to the internet, right? And getting advertised and seeing like all the programs out there to make money online. And I'm sure you know him, but Ty Lopez ad came up, right? On how to make money online and how to start like an agency. And I remember seeing those ads of Ty Lopez and just getting into that mindset. You know, I think that every entrepreneur, every individual goes through that stage of just getting advertised different things, different programs, different ways to make money by these gurus. And we just put it kind of like in the background, right? We continued to play soccer. And then it got to a point where I was not feeling content with my lifestyle, the people that I was surrounded with. I felt like college for me was something that, again, being from Mexico and this being such a cultural shift for me, most people get taught by their parents, right? Like, oh, this is kind of the traditional way and it's so normal, right? But to me, it was just sort of like I saw my friends going out and drinking, going to house parties, and I just tried to fit in so much, but it felt so forced. It didn't feel natural to me. I've always been more chill, more laid back. I really tried to stay away from drugs, drinking, and I just wasn't vibing with these people in my college other than, you know, a couple of friends on the soccer team. So long story short, I decided to drop out of, well, actually the first step was I moved to Austin, Texas, because I have a brother, Ivan, who moved to Austin before me. And I was just talking to my parents and my brother and I told them, look, I don't feel great. I don't know if soccer is going to be my thing moving forward. And I told them my plans and they said, well, why don't you move to Austin, Texas? And I thought about it, decided to tell my coach, and everyone thought I was crazy, right? Because senior year, state championship, All-American, bunch of awards, everyone. And I did a really good job playing soccer my freshman year of college. And everyone was like, I can't believe it. You have all these great things, full ride, et cetera, right? And then I moved to Austin, Texas, and I go to a community college. And I told Jesus, hey, I'm gonna move, but let's stay in touch. Let's see if we can do something, you from here and me from Austin. And I go to this community college and it's just whack, bro. Honestly, I just felt like, what is this? Like, why am I commuting? I had no car. I was going on bus. And people, it's like a small community college. So people are just going for the classes and dipping, right? Like, there were a few groups that would try to hang around and there were groups. But like I said, I was a little bit more introverted and I just didn't really push to make friends or get into these groups. And I was not happy going to being educated that way. And I told Max, hey, bro, I think I'm going to drop out and I'm going to take this entrepreneurship seriously. And by this point, we're learning about Ty Lopez's agency course. And I'm like, maybe I'm going to give this a shot. There are so many businesses here in Austin because he had not seen this, right? Like I'm being exposed to the Austin lifestyle and I'm like, holy shit, like so many businesses, so many people trying to do things. And I'm also meeting people like you, right? And like all these people into fitness, and my mind started to open up because that was the first time that I really traveled outside of Indiana. So my mind was opening up and I told them, I think I'm going to drop out. And I told my parents too, and they were like, oh my gosh, I can't believe it, because you know, they dropped me off here in the United States trying to give me a better life. And they thought that was the trajectory, right? So when I told them, they were just like, they just needed to feel like I had it planned out and I knew what steps I had to take. And as long as they felt like, oh, okay, he has it figured out and he has a plan, they were cool with it. And I told them, look, if it doesn't work out, I'll finish college. So I told them my plan. And then I told Max, I'm doing it. I do it. And he's in disbelief too, right? And then a couple months later, as he sees me grinding, I told him, bro, why don't you drop out out of college and come move with me? And we do this thing, the agency. And he's like, you know, I took some back and forth and just figuring things out. Long story short, again, he moves out to Austin and then we start this agency, right? And we start getting clients, we start doing creative work, like you said, photos, videos, and I start learning all about social media and how you can get paid by using, like doing ads for businesses. And that led us to just learning more about entrepreneurship, learning about opening LLCs, opening your own bank account, all the things that every new entrepreneur goes through, right? And of course, all the challenges. We had no way of transportation. We were taking the bus to downtown Austin and literally just going to restaurants, going to health practitioners, knocking on doors and telling them, hey, it's just like me and my buddy and we do this service called ads and we can take really nice photos of your menu, like really basic, right? And we got our first client, Crazy Fruits in Austin, and he took us on board and we did photos, we did ads. I remember we were doing live videos on Facebook for him at his restaurant, like literally us going into the kitchen, Max recording, me in the kitchen, talking to the cooks. And looking back at them, it's such a funny memory because, you know, I'm literally talking to the cooks. These girls, like, don't know English too well. And I'm just trying to take it off the dome, right? And make it as entertaining as possible. And then a couple years later, we moved to Miami. We get an opportunity to work with the guy that was more successful than us. And he took us sort of, I don't want to say under his wing, but he really opened up our eyes because he lived in a sky rise. And that really took us to another level of like, holy shit, bro, like we are making something happen at such a young age. Let's keep going, right? So it was like a 3-month period opportunity and we moved back to Austin. And then I decided to start traveling because I loved traveling. And my cousin, Veggie, also loved traveling. So I started talking more to him. We start traveling and then we get this idea of like, let's just visit as many states as possible. And we come to Cali, right? And to me, that was just like, bro, what the heck? Like, I've never seen this. And coming from Mexico, I think Max knew more about Cali because it's like, quote unquote, like the dreamland or whatever you want to call it. And he would always tell me, bro, Cali, Cali, Cali. Even on his wall screen on his phone, he had palm trees from Cali. And to me, it was just kind of like, I don't know that place, right? And so then I got here with my cousin while we were traveling. And we were staying in my car. I remember I had a Pontiac. They don't even make those cars anymore. And we were just sleeping in there. I remember we were putting like blankets and our sheets. We would roll the window down, put the sheet and then roll the window back up to cover during night at night. And then like at 2 a.m., 3 a.m., cops would come and like, hey, you can't sleep here. And we would just have to go somewhere else. And we were just like roughing it out, right? But I remember that time being the most free that I've ever been, because I was literally living in my car with my cousin, smoking weed, like having a good time, just being crazy, going on hikes. And then I saw Cali, and that's when the seed got planted in me as well, of like, oh shoot, like Cali is amazing and I would love to be here. We kept traveling, and then I moved back to Goshen, Indiana. That's because we tried to keep our business afloat, the agency with Max, but it was not sustainable. Clients wanted us, you know, clients have expectations, and I get it, you know, like we were just trying to keep it as long as possible. We knew they were going to let us go at some point. And at that point, some have already let us go. So we start feeling like, man, like maybe I can't travel anymore. You know, my bank account is suffering. Like we're not having the same amount of income coming in. We go back to Goshen, Indiana, and we're sort of kind of like, fuck, like what do we do, man? Like we had this good run. We just didn't focus. And I remember the guy that we worked for in Miami told us, I'm going to give you guys a piece of advice. Focus on one thing and make that happen. Because at that time, e-com was popping and he was not an e-com, but all of his friends were kind of like transitioning over to that. And he stayed so consistent in what he was doing that he's like, bro, all these people are going to jump from thing to thing. Just stay consistent at what you do for a good amount of years. But you know, being young, first time entrepreneur, trying it for your first time, like you don't know, you don't understand it in the heart, right? You just hear it, but you can't apply it yet. And then we kind of let go of the pedal and tried other things, and that made our company suffer and we lost clients. And in Goshen, we were just like, fuck man, like what do we do? And then I remember one day we were just talking and Max said, bro, why don't we move to Cali? And we take a few friends from here, the ones that we're closest to, or that we think that we'll be able to assemble a team and move over there. And, you know, by this point, like we're watching, you know, Jake Paul and Logan Paul, and we're seeing like the houses, right, of like people that move out there and try to make things happen. So we were in that vibe and we said, all right, let's do it. So we assemble a team of like seven people. Some fall off, some new ones come in. And we moved, right? Like we moved like 3 years ago. This was in 2019, 2020. We take the trip to Cali and we stay in Riverside. We get to Riverside. We had a friend that we met in Miami from that 3 month job that we met there. He lives in Riverside. We're like, hey bro, you think we can stay with you for a week or so until we find a house? But only Max and I moved first. We let everyone stay behind. And we just kind of let the pack and say, we'll go find the place. And whenever it's ready, you guys can come. We get here and my friend's like, yeah, you guys can stay. No problem. He lives with his family and not Riverside, Fontana. And then in Fontana, bro, scorching hot. It's just like it was tough. We were roughing it out. And I got a little room by him. I'm so thankful that Misa, shout out to Misa that helped us out. But he let us stay for a week, and we were like, we had no clue how difficult it was to get a house. Like it was our first time house hunting and trying to find a place for seven people, bro. Like everyone, like credit checks, right? Like income, all these things. We were so young. Like most of us didn't like have all these things figured out. And Christy, our realtor, hooked us up big time. We found a perfect place in Diamond Bar, maybe like 45 minutes away from Fontana. And you know, we're just, this is such, so shrunk, like the story, but we find a home in Diamond Bar and all of our friends move. But obviously we're thinking, bro, like Max and I always took the roles of like, okay, we're making this happen. We feel some sort of responsibility to provide for our friends because we sort of kind of pulled them away from like everything that they were doing, their lifestyles over there, their work over there. And we said, we need to find a way to make money. And Max was like, hey, bro, remember that? I left this out of the story, but he's like, remember when that guy hit me up in Goshen? Somehow Max was hit up by this guy that lived here in Cali that had this truck, this bike rental truck, and he was selling it. Like, he was selling the business. He had no business because he was not operating it anymore, but he had the truck with the hooks. Like, it was all decked out except no inventory. Somehow he found him, right? And then Max is like, why don't we go see him? Let me hit him up and see if he still has the truck. So he hits him up and Max is like, hey, yo, bro, like I ended up moving to Cali. Can we go see the truck? And then this guy's like, yeah, I still have it, bro. Come check it out. So we go and we check out the truck and we're like, bro, like this is lit. Like this could be a really fun business to do. So we go to the beach here in Santa Monica. That's where I live. And this is where the truck, the location was. And he shows us the location. He's like, bro, this is a perfect spot. Like no competition nearby. Look in California. The thing about California is that it has so many biking trails. And this one specifically, it's like 22 miles long. Excuse me. And it runs from Santa Monica to Torrance Beach. It's 22 miles long. Locals, tourists, it's like the thing to do if you come to the West Coast and come to the beach. And we go there and I just see hundreds of bikes, bro. Just like riding by. And I'm like, bro, this is a gold mine. Obviously, I'm not trying to show my emotion too much because he was selling the quote unquote business. And we go through the negotiation and I talk a lot in depth about this negotiation and this process in our podcast. And we land on a deal, right? I think we ended up paying like, we got him down to like 12,000. But in reality, we were just paying for a truck that was semi-decorated to hold bikes. But he was trying to sell us a business and like, bro, this is like legit, structured. And he had no notes. Like if you're trying to sell a business, like you have to have all your P&Ls, like all the documents, like your numbers from previous years, at least 3 years, right? And so he had nothing. Like he was writing everything by paper. And we end up buying the truck and we post up, right? Like our first day, and we made like $600, right? And we're like, bro, like, you know, like we're so hyped, right? Because it's like bike rentals, like such a fun business by the beach, mobile with our friends. Like what else could we ask for, right? And we just start, you know, cranking, bro. We had the knowledge from the marketing and the content creation. We just put our heart and soul into it. But I had no bike experience, right? Like, yeah, I used to ride bikes when I was little. But when you have like 20 plus bikes, like you need to know about maintenance, right? People are using these bikes, like they're getting beat up. And I just kind of had to jump in and learn all this on my own. Max is not very handy. He's more like cerebral and I'm more like a little bit of both. So I was like, well, I guess I have to figure out the handy part, like really figure out how to adjust brakes, put bikes together, chains, tires, all these things, right? And it was all new to me, but I enjoyed it because I was always handy and like I like working with my hands. And then we found this really good system to be able to, I'm somewhat techie too. Like I know how to work systems and softwares, put processes in place. And I found this CRM that I somehow customized to be able to keep track of people's rentals and how long they were out for and use tags to determine if they did 1 hour, 2 hours, all day. And because this guy had nothing, like he was renting the bikes for 20 all day, free locks. And we're like, bro, you're making no money. Like there's so much potential here to add different menus, different times. He only had all day 20. And we're like, no, let's do 1 hour 15, 2 hours 25, all day 40, right? And we make a killing basically, like after implementing everything that we know and just grinding it out. We were traveling from Diamond Bar to Santa Monica, like a 1 hour commute and driving this big ass truck. Eventually we find a storage unit where we can put this truck and just the grind, you know, you understand it, CJ, but yep. That led us to being like, bro, I think we bought our first business. Like most people think, let's start a business, right? And I'm like, why don't we just continue to buy businesses? Like businesses are already established, semi-established, have clientele, have menus, have inventory, equipment. And we find this website called Biz by Zelle, where we're just like daily, like checking businesses, like what businesses are for sale around me. And at this point, we have some experience going through the negotiation, the due diligence, hiring people, all these things that a retail, like a location requires, right? Like a physical location. So we're on Biz by Zelle just looking at businesses, and we come across beachside bike rentals in Redondo Beach, like 45 minutes on the coast as well by the beach. And this guy's selling his bike shop for like, I think 280, 300. And I tell Max, bro, like, that's too much. This guy has nothing. Like, because we checked it out, and we bring him down. Like, I talk about all this in the podcast, but we sort of like lost interest because just different circumstances. And the guy was desperate. Like, he started this business during COVID, and he had like a therapeutic services, and some of his clients would go bike to recover, like as a form of exercise. And he's like, wait, I can rent bikes. So he started this business and then got a bunch of bikes. He's like, there's something here, but he was still trying to manage his therapeutic services and the bike shop. And he's like, I can't do this anymore. My passion is like the therapeutic services. So we kind of like let go of the pedal, some semi on purpose, semi just circumstances. But that letting go, this is a lesson, like when you let go of things, sometimes like life just finds a way to like put them back into your life. Like once you kind of like let go. And he's like, hey, I'll do it. Like, he kept throwing out numbers every time, lowering like how much he was asking for. And that's when like it threw me off. So I'm like, bro, like, why are you lowering the price so much? We did the numbers. We did everything to figure out if it was worth what he was asking for. And at the end, he's like, just give me 80K. He's like, just give me 80K and it's yours. And I'm like, I tell Max, bro, this deal sounds too good to be true now. I mean, if we fail, right, at 80K, and at this point, like, we have some capital for sure from like doing the bike rentals here for like 2 years. So we have some money saved up, and we're like, let's just do it, bro. Let's just try it. We give 40K up front and we start going, bro. Last year, April 9th was our first day. And I just remember, bro, the first day, me stepping into that business and like seeing all the inventory. The business owner had just left. I give him his check and he's like, I gotta go. And I'm like, bro, the training, like, you're not gonna train me or what? And obviously I did some due diligence. Max and I went there to the shop. We knew already from our bike rental here in Santa Monica, like what it entailed. But he's like, I gotta go. And I'm like, bro. And I was just left there by myself, my other business partner that we have, and Sebastian. And I'm like, all right, let's get this thing going. And I just remember customers coming in and they were like, are you new? Like, everyone's asking me. I'm like, oh, I'm the new owner, right? And it was such a strange moment for me because, you know, the first business that we bought, Rib, Ride It Baby Bikes, was not operating. It was, the truck was parked in his garage. So like for us, like going into it, like people didn't really question it, right? They just thought we'd been there forever. But this one, like, people had an affinity for Johnny, the previous business owner, and they knew it, and he had been operating for a year. And so like they come in and they see this, you know, new guy, and they're like, oh, are you the new business owner? And I'm like, yeah. And, you know, Max is taking care of Rib, I'm taking care of Beachside. That's just kind of how we split responsibilities. And from scratch, you know, putting everything again from scratch, it was so helpful that we had some experience running Rib. And it was just a wild moment to have two locations running bike rentals. And then we get an idea to incorporate service. So start servicing people's bikes, e-bikes, e-scooters. And that's why I partner up with my other business partner, Sebastian, because he comes from the bike world and he knows everything about repairing bikes, electric bikes, batteries, you know, all electronics. Like, this guy's a G. And he knows how to do this, and I'm just putting I'm just putting all the tech behind it, right? Like the softwares, the menus, like the pricing, POS system, CRMs, advertising, like all these things, you know, all the experience that I've had from building that agency and doing Facebook ads, Google ads, like I'm putting it all, you know, on the grill pretty much, and everything just starts to like grow. And this guy was doing, you know, maybe like less than 100K a year. Within a year, we end up doing close to like 300. And we're like, bro, it took us less than a year to do this. We got a heck of a deal. We paid 80K. Now we're making almost 300K. That's insane. You know, the way that we've been able to just go into a business. And same thing for Rib. Like, this guy was not even doing like 100K, and quickly again, like 300, right? within a year, year and a half. And then we get into this groove, right? Of like, bro, like we can start more businesses. Like we can buy more businesses. So that's pretty much like the story of like, you know, us starting, like buying our first business and then seeing a path for us. And like, fuck, like we are good at buying businesses, getting the best deal possible when the previous owners are either ready to retire, not passionate about the business anymore. And we can add our little touch and like flip this, you're right, like exponentially. And then like 2 weeks ago, I've been super busy because we started a new RIB location in Manhattan Beach. So RIB is the truck. And I don't know if you can put photos or eventually, but it's just like a U-Haul truck. And we post up near the beach and we have our bikes hooked inside the truck. But we also have electric bikes just kind of like on the floor, whatever their space, right? So RIB, we're keeping it the same. And that's the business that we do have to start new locations from scratch because we have to go to the city, figure out permits, like find parking spots. And it's not easy finding parking spots. Like all these 3 years, we've been trying to find another location. And we found another one in Manhattan Beach. And then we have this other extension of what we do, which is like we buy other businesses. So that was Beachside. We didn't want to change the name to RIB because it's just like different concept. Like we believe RIB is the truck design, mobile. We post up near the beach. And yeah, bro, I mean, it's been like a long journey of like almost like 6 years of just like entrepreneurship, building businesses, buying businesses. So now we constantly check for other businesses that are trying to be sold, and also connecting with other people who are either trying to get us to invest or have ideas. And, you know, and on the side, we do a lot of other things, but that's just like the bread and butter of like how I got here to Cali and how we have like three different locations now in Santa Monica, Manhattan Beach, and then Redondo Beach. So like it connects like the whole path, the bike path. So if someone tries to rent in Redondo Beach, they can go all the way down to Santa Monica. If someone tries to rent from Santa Monica, they can go down to Redondo or Manhattan Beach. So it's a beautiful, like we have a really amazing network of things, services that you can pay for and have a good time. We service a lot of tourists, locals, you know, special events, hotels. We have great partnerships with hotels here in Redondo as well. And, you know, Redondo kills it with the service. Like it's such a bike-friendly community that people need, you know, it's like you get your car, you know, fixed at a bike shop, like oil change, all these things, like bikes need tune-ups too, and you need to fix chains and flats. And now with electric bikes being so popular, I don't know, I'm pretty sure they're popular too in Austin, Texas, but here in Cali, it's just like, that's super popular. So I know it was like a very long story, but I just felt like I had to break everything down because like you said, it was a very unique journey that I've taken, and it's taken me like it's pivoted me so much, but I'm happy with, you know, where I'm at and where we're going. So yeah.
Oh yeah, feel free to take a glass of water now.
For sure. That was like hell of a story.
Hell of a story, but I wanted to kick it off with that because I knew you would tell a really good story and also have a lot of different themes in there, which is just like adaptation, being able to come to America and learn a new language, learn new sports, be around new people at all times. And the other thing that really comes to mind for you is just like being able to pivot and make the best of what's right in front of you. I think a lot of people hold on to like the path that they should be going down rather than really reflecting and looking at themselves and asking like, what do I want out of life? Mm-hmm. And that's where I'd love to ask you, like, how did you understand how to pivot your life so quickly in different times? Because I feel like that's a major pain point for a lot of people. Was it because that you were kind of just dropped off here and you didn't really have a map that was like really pressured on you? Or was it something that just is within you specifically, Isaac, or was it a learned thing along the way that you were just like, you know what, like I need to learn how to just drop things like they're hot and move on mm-hmm. to new things once I feel it?
Yeah, that's a good question. So I think for sure it's a thing within Isaac. And since I was a very little, you know, I remember my parents would tell me, oh my gosh, you were such a handful and you were so troublesome and you always had to do what Isaac wanted to do. And I would tell you, like, my mom tells this story of like when I was trying to learn how to ride a bike. And it's funny because, you know, bike, I guess, has been such a huge thing in when I was little, and now I rent bikes. But she was like, we try to teach you, like, go this way, put your feet like that, do it like this. And you always kind of, you would fall and then get back up. And then you would try something new. And then you would, so I definitely think that it's something in me. And obviously sports, you know, you get to learn how to overcome like losses, and you play bad, you have to, you know, shake it off and like try again next game and with practices and everything. So I definitely think that it's like ingrained in me, like from, you know, since I was born. But then moving on, because, you know, you got to also like train it. Like some people could have it, but they just don't put it into practice. But then, yeah, being dropped off here in the U.S. at age 13, like I told you, I was living with different uncles, different aunts, and I always had to pivot, you know, like I felt like I would find my groove in like my aunt's place, and then it would be like, oh, my aunt and my mom fought, so now I can't stay here, I gotta go somewhere else, right? So to me, it was like I always had to like change mindsets very quickly, and I didn't mind it. To me, I was just like, no, I got it, you know, I have no problem doing that. And I always had a strong belief in my abilities, my skills, and then just going the entrepreneurial path and being hit with different challenges along the way, it just trains your mind to understand that you can't dwell on the past. Like, you have to be able to move forward, learn from it. And, you know, everyone says this, but it's like, it's true. Like, you do have to just sort of shake it off and keep moving forward, because that's really what's going to separate you from the rest. And we've seen it, right? Like some of our, you know, your friend group or my friend group, like people just kind of fall off after being hit with so many challenges as you're adulting. And if you're not able to pivot, so you're not going to do well. So to me, it was just an understanding that it was like I felt it in my heart that I'm like, well, if I'm not able to pivot quickly and keep going, I'm not going to get to the levels that I'm trying to get to. And then eventually later in life, like, go ahead.
It's almost like a survival instinct at first. Yeah. It's just like to even like have a shot, I got to learn how to pivot and adapt. And then you start getting to the point of like, you get so good at that you start learning like how to thrive,
of course,
through any of those different things. And I think, yeah, a lot of people that go the path that they should go down are fearful because they haven't really come up across challenges where they're forced to do whatever it takes to survive. Cause you get that paycheck from that corporate job, or you get that path that's like kind of cush enough,
yeah,
that doesn't force you to like really dig deep. Like, you were sitting there talking about living in your car, and I was on a panel one time at Capital Factory in downtown Austin, and I was probably the least qualified to be on the panel. And I noticed something after the panel. I had the most people come up to me, mm-hmm, and a couple of them came up to me for one reason. When I was on the panel, they asked me a question about like bringing an idea or a business to life, and I talked about like, I'm relentless. I would literally sleep in a car or on concrete to like make something happen if I really want it to happen. And like five people came up to me about that statement because I was just telling the truth.
Yeah.
Like if you want it bad enough, you're going to bring it to life. So what are you doing today? Because like, it's one thing to like start something. We get that spark. Like, you get that first $600.
Yeah.
But then you're like, fuck, I got to do these chains. I got to like figure out all the systems that you're talking about. I know this wholeheartedly because of the business that we work in. It's like, oh, you start making money, it scratches that initial itch. But then you're like, shit, I got to do a lot more if I want to get to like level 7, level 10, level 50. What do you do today to keep yourself motivated and disciplined enough to show up each and every day and operate? Because I feel that's the differentiator. And you mentioned like some people fall off. It's the level of operation that you need to do every single day for a decade, mm-hmm, just wears on people. And if you don't have the right principles and purpose, I see that you have a church hat on. It's like, If you don't have that and you're not grounded and rooted in that, yeah, it's going to be very difficult to stay consistent. So what does Isaac do today to keep that motivation and keep growing all the ideas and dreams that you and Max and the rest of the team have?
Of course. So I think it's on a, you know, you can say you have two different sides, right? Like you can have like the personal side and they both help each other. And then the business side, right? Like the operational and stuff and making sure businesses are running well. And they both help each other, but I'll just start with like the personal, right? And like you mentioned, I go to church. I would consider myself a new Christian, and religion wasn't huge for me growing up. And my parents tried to take me to a Catholic church in Mexico, but I was, you know, as a young kid, just trying to play basketball and being all crazy and stuff, and getting expelled from schools and whatnot. Like it just didn't fit well with me, and never really paid attention. But now my faith has grown so much, and that sort of now on the personal side is just something that I'm trying to do godly things and really live by God's will. And to me, that's all the motivation really that I need, just to try to live the way that, like, if Jesus was here, right? Like right now, and I would see him live his life. Like I would like to be like that, or at least, you know, how I read the Bible and get to read how he handled everything. That to me is like enough motivation for me to work on my personal stuff, you know, like anger, frustration, right? How I treat my girlfriend, how I treat Max, how I treat my parents, how I treat my employees, the values that my businesses have, right? All these things that I'm trying to work on is definitely things that on a personal level that will help my businesses. And on, you know, on the business side of things, I would just say like everything has compounded over time. I literally just think of the first thing that comes to my mind is just show up and do the work. And to me, it's like, it's nothing. So like there's no magic recipe for this. Like it really is just like, just do the work. And it might sound so bland and so not cool, but to me it's just like I've just been doing the work for 6+ years, that to me, like, the key is just show up. Like just show up and do the work. And I've really ingrained that into my brain, that even my parents, I just dropped them off at the airport this morning. They came to visit, but they had not seen me in action like this. A couple of years. And I even told them, if you guys are going to come, you guys are going to work. Like, cause I have so much shit to do, especially opening up a new location. And they were amazing. Like they helped me so much, but I told them, if you guys are going to come, like you guys are going to have to help me. And I'm working right now and I can't take too much time to like take you guys to explore like the touristy place and all these things. And my mom was just like, man, like you work so much, like is this normal to you? And like it just made me quit. Like no one has asked me that question in a very long time, and I was like, fuck, like, you know, part of me is like sad. I'm like, yeah, this is like normal, you know, just like high stress, going, you know, on the weekends, because it's when we operate, most people are, you know, going to, like, because I see it, right? I'm at the beach working and most people are just enjoying their day, right? Like just having fun with family. And I'm like, the operation that our businesses require, especially RIB, because it's a mobile business, and like we have to take all the batteries there and like have someone park the truck and then someone else comes in and like all these different things, right? But it's just like the way that I stay motivated is it's just like I rely on obviously the people that help us, right? Like we try to hire quality employees, people that I'm trying to grow with. We don't just hire, you know, someone that's not willing to put in not the same effort, because they're never going to put the same effort as you, but someone who believes in the vision and that to their level, you have to understand how high they want to push, like how high up the mountain they want to see the view from. And I don't need everyone to want to see like from the very tippy tops, right? But at least to be able to climb to a spot where like whatever I need them from, they're going to do it to the best of their abilities. And just having that right people around me, like, is helpful for me to show up and be like, I mean, at this point we got like 8 employees, and it's enough motivation for me to want to perform the best and show up and, you know, give them their paychecks and bonuses and tips and like all these great things so that they can also, you know, I want them to do eventually like their own thing. If they were inspired about what we were doing and they're like, fuck, like I want to do my own thing and I've learned so much from you guys and you guys never held anything back and you guys share the numbers and like kept me up to date and like I saw your organizational skills and your leadership skills, like that to me is like enough to be like, fuck, I'm going to show up every day and do my best. And then I don't know, bro, it's just in me, like this, you know, chip on my shoulder of coming here to the US and having this like love for, honestly, like I love capitalism, you know, I love the idea of like coming to a country and like being able to start like a mobile business that rents bikes, like on a metered parking space, like near the beach. It's like, bro, like it's a hack, you know. Thank you to the city, thank you to the government in a way for allowing me and Max, like 2 Hispanic kids just trying to like make it out, right? And I love business, like I love operating businesses, and obviously I have my down days, but overall I think that I have my mission is just like helping, you know, my family, and helping those around me, and also eventually having a family and living by the word of God and doing following godly things and just doing my best within those things, with good values, good qualities, and leading by example. So that's kind of what motivates me.
What is your least favorite part of business? Or operating a business? What is sticky?
I would say, and I'm trying to delegate this task, but just payroll and figuring out schedules. Like I said, right now we have 3 locations, and I'm sort of like the, you know, I'm wearing multiple hats. Like I'm the business owner, but I do payroll, HR, like all these different things, right? And I know they're like the higher you go in levels, like hopefully if you have the skills, you're gonna be able to delegate. And but that's where most small business owners get stuck, right? Because they don't grow because they're not able to delegate things and pass along these different responsibilities. So when you ask me what's your least favorite thing, like I know one that always nags at me is just doing the payroll, right? And like how many hours did this person work and how many tips did they get? Oh, was someone else in the store with them? So then I have to split it 50-50. And just doing that, like, and Max helped me too. Like I said, he focuses more on rib. I focus more on beachside. So like we have like 4 and 4 almost. And he does his payroll. I do my payroll for my store. And that's just something that nags at me. Like, I'm like, why am I doing this? Like, I shouldn't be doing this. But I know it's a transition, right? Like I had to, but now I'm at a point where I'm like, I can't be doing this. Like I have to delegate this. And then just figuring out schedules. Like right now, I'm trying to figure out a schedule for this weekend. And someone's like, oh, I need the day off. And like someone else is like, oh, I'll let you know if I can do Saturday or Sunday. And it's always a battle, right? Of like, you try to please as many people as possible. But then at some point, you gotta wear your big pants on and be like, no, you have to work this day. And like, if it's not gonna work out, then I have to put someone else in place. But that's just something that I like it at the end when I'm like, fuck, like that took so much work. And now I have like everyone's organized. Everyone knows when they need to come in. And like when the business is run like perfectly, I'm like, I did that, right? Like I made all the schedules happen. Like everyone worked with me. My organizational skills were great. My leadership skills were great. Communication skills were great. And now everything's operating properly. But that's my least favorite thing right now.
Delegate and elevate, baby. Hey, the reason I asked that question, I've asked it before on here, is just maybe somebody listening is either an expert at that weak area. And like you said, you don't necessarily have to be weak to make it a nuisance for you. Like you could be strong in a certain area, but it's just not what lights you up. And I think that's what really holds a lot of small business owners back, is that feeling of, oh, I feel great because I did the work. But the reality is like the result is what you're after. And that's what I would love to understand, is just like, okay, we're in 2023. What does a great result at the end of the year for Rib and Beachside look like for Isaac and max, because that's the arrow that you should be shooting at. That's the target you should be shooting the arrow at. It's like, I think a lot of people that either go from the corporate world and jump into small business, or they just go straight entrepreneurial like you did, they get caught up in doing the work and that fulfilling feeling of like, I worked so hard and like made something work. But the reality is like, you don't have to work as hard if you're just focused on the results and delegating people that can help you get those results. Yeah. And then you can scale and provide more jobs for more people and get that fulfilling feeling that you're talking about. And I'd love for you to talk a little bit about what are those goals that really are what you and Max are after, not just this year, but moving forward.
Yeah, of course. So I think that there are short-term goals that we need to hit. Like, for example, I know that I have my hard cost, right, for every location that I'm like, this shop needs to make this much in order to pay all the employees, in order to pay rent, in order to continue to operate, right? So those are like my goals, right? As long as these numbers are being hit every month, obviously it's not ideal and I want to keep growing, but I can continue to operate. And that gives me time to think about other goals, like, okay, how much money do we want to make by the end of the year, right? Or how many more locations do we want to open? But I would say for this year, I remember last year we were thinking of opening a second rib location, and we made it happen this year. But at this moment, we calculated if we put all three locations together, we wanted to hit 600K, so just in revenue. So just being above that $500,000, like in revenue, like, you know, to me, like I never thought that would be possible, right? Just thinking, fuck, like I have three things that produce me like more than $500,000 in revenue, like, and we can keep like 40-50% of that. That gives you just so much capital power to be able to do other things, like invest in other things, obviously provide for our families, like continue to work on our personal goals. But I would say like being above that, because now with three locations that's possible. So definitely like one goal, as materialistic as it sounds, like just being above that $500,000 in revenue and continuing to keep that 40-50%. And obviously just like I pride myself so much in the customer that we provide that I want to be able to hit 500 reviews on Google for Rib Santa Monica, 100 for Rib Manhattan Beach, and then 500 for Beachside. And we have again, because of the system that I've been able to put in place, we just have it on automation that we get constant reviews from like our customers. And it's such a good, like so many business owners sleep on the power of Google reviews or Yelp reviews, but primarily Google reviews. And they don't have a way to systematize and automate like these, like requesting people for a review. And obviously some do, but they're like, oh, but like they know that their service is not top notch, it's not quality, so they're like, oh, I'm gonna shy away from like asking people to review us because they know they're not going to receive the best star rating. And for me, it's like the team is so dialed in, because when they get to us and they see the work environment and they see how hard we push and how extra we are with customers, they don't have an option but to say like, I'm gonna do it, right? And first of all, they're not even gonna get to the shop if they don't cross our checklist of like, first we do a meeting via like FaceTime or Zoom, and like right away we're able to pick up the vibe, right? Like, is this person going to be good to the team or not? But if they get to the shop, that means, you know, they passed all the checks, and then there they get to see like how we operate and how we treat our customers, and they're like, fuck, like this, they really do care about the people, right? So for me, the goal is always like, I have these metrics of like, I want these many reviews by the end of the year, because that's a representation of how we're treating our customers. And if we treat them well, then they're gonna keep coming back. And we just provide the best customer service. We have really good ratings. But, and then on another note, are you talking about goals specifically for business or personal too?
Both.
For sure.
Thrive on Life.
Yeah. So business, it was that, you know, like the be above the 500K, then reach these many reviews. And then we're also thinking about opening up more locations and, or buy other businesses, but that's kind of like, it's still, we're figuring things out. But on a personal level, I think that I just want to, honestly, the thing when you're a business owner, and every business owner structures it differently, but like I have not taken much money. Like I've probably taken less than, I don't know, in all these 6 years, probably like around 50K in like payments that I've made to myself, because I literally don't take much money. And you know, CJ, like a lot of things are like, you can be categorized as business expenses. So like you benefit a lot, right? From like having like a business and being able to offset a lot of personal stuff. Like if I go, like for example, I just bought a suit at a men's warehouse and it was like $800, and I paid with my business because I'm like, I could say that I just use this for like a video shoot, right? Like for my business or for promotional material. So a lot of those things that you tend to pay with personal, like I'm like, oh, I'm going to pay with business, right? So I haven't paid myself much, but I think I'm starting to really, you know, I have a girlfriend, a very serious relationship, and my parents, my mom's retired, my dad, they're both about to be in their 60s. So I'm really starting to think about, I have to start to pay myself more. And I have to, you know, have this conversation with Max where we really sit down and say, okay, bro, like we are adults now and we're starting to, you know, get it. Like I'm in a serious relationship and I'm starting to think about the future. And do I want to live with this person? I want to provide for this person. I want to provide for my family. So I think on a personal level, I think I want to start earning more from my businesses and not just like, you know, having it there and like reinvesting everything into the businesses. Like, I think I'm at a point where I do want to start focusing more on like, okay, how do I set myself up for like a family or a house or helping out my parents? Because that's always been my dream of helping my parents out and allowing them to just not have to work as much. Because my dad is self-employed, so he still has to grind even in his 60s. So yeah, that's on a personal level. Just earn more, have more chips.
I love that, and it hits home with me because having a son now, like it's the same thing. For the way that Aaron and I have worked this over the years is everything that I make just gets put back into everything that I'm working on.
Yeah.
And she basically, what she makes keeps the lights on. So we've been fortunate to work as a team. But now that we have a little one, I have to start thinking like, okay, how do I start making extra income where I'm paying myself and then using that money for extra for our household? And it's not something that I've had to figure out before. The beauty is like, and the same thing with you is just like, I mean, you've already done the hard part. The part of like figuring out where the extra comes from is really just like time management. Where am I going to slot this extra time to go focus on like, what I really focus on is like revenue generating opportunities just for myself and then revenue generating opportunities for the business. And I kind of like categorize them in different areas. Yeah. And that way, like going into a week, I can be like, how much time am I spending looking at revenue that I'm going to pull in and then it's going to go in this slot? And then how much time am I spending on maybe operating a business where I'm not touching any of that revenue? So like, some of the things that I work on, it's just like, oh, we'll have a great month where it makes 30K, but like my pay remains the same. Versus if I created my own product, like one thing I'm thinking about and you could potentially spin up is like creating my own product that just sits on my podcast and other places. And I can promote that through ads and other things and maybe make a K, 2,000, 3,000. A month at start would be a goal. And then like per week based on that product. And that's just based on everything else I'm already doing. And it's going to take upfront time, but not going to take like time away from the other businesses. Cause I'd rather, obviously, you know this too. It's like, you'd rather grow your business's revenue from 500K to 1 million to 10 million than your own personal to 100,000 to 150 to 200,000. And this is a lesson for other people out there, because if you grow your revenue of your business to 1 million, 10 million, the valuation of that company and potentially selling that, you then could put 1 million, 10 million, 50 million into your bank account in one swoop. Rather, a lot of people that go the normal path, they're always looking for that 4% boost, that 5% boost.
Exactly.
So I love that you hit home on that. And then I also want to touch, before we get to the wrap-up question, I'd also love to touch on how you had that goal of the 500,000 and then you followed that up with customer service, because a lot of people out there, one, they're afraid of like setting financial goals, because you said the word materialistic, but the reality is like the world goes round on that green paper, right? Like without it, like nobody would have homes, nobody would have transportation, nobody would have food. So once you conquer that as like a business owner of being like, we got to set these hard goals and have these hard costs, and we got to do whatever it takes to hit them, because like you mentioned, like you're feeding people's families and like having, like they have transportation that they need to have and homes that they need to purchase for their families. So you followed that up with customer service, and a lot of people focus on when they do conquer that fear of like looking at the money, they're only looking at the money rather than like, what's the metric that actually brings the money in? Mm-hmm. And you talked about like the end of the day, at the end of that green dollar is a customer and a person and a human being. And the more that you connect with that human being and they love you and they trust you and they're willing to put more dollars with you year over year, it's way easier to have one customer that you already have pay you more than it is to acquire new customers. And if you're a business like Isaac's here and you have all these reviews that you're getting, it's only going to keep more customers coming and your revenue is going to go up year over year just by doing and focusing on that. So I love how you hit on that. I've loved this conversation up till this point. I have one more question before we get into the short wrap-ups.
For sure.
Questions. What are you most proud of over this journey? Like thinking back, because you were talking about you sometimes you forget like your past. I do the same way. I like look at my past. I'm like, I don't even remember being that person. I feel completely different. But over the course of that story you told here today and the different businesses and business partners and things you've been able to achieve, when you think of like what Isaac is most proud of, what comes to mind?
The thing that I'm most proud of is that I haven't lost myself in the sauce. You know, I think that as you start earning more money, as you continue, you know, you as a business owner, if you're doing well, like the ego will definitely get boosted, you know, like you'll definitely start getting that praise and, oh, look at me, like I bought this business and like, look at me, I'm making this much money. And look at me, like I bought, you know, a car and I just bought like a nice car. So it's like definitely all these little things that can derail you from having good values, from treating people right, from being honest, from doing right by your customers. Like all these things have an impact, right? And then living here in LA, like, you know, the pool of society, that's why I got closer in my faith and to church and God, because I'm like, I need to hold on to something, because to me, that's the thing that I cherish the most, being a good person, being a good human being. And I would say that's what I'm most proud of, just staying true to our nature, which is, you know, being a good human being. Well, I don't know if that's our nature, actually. I think the nature is like things, you know, go kind of bad after some time, like we get older. That's the nature. So you definitely, that's the natural pool of things. Like, and for me to just do everything that I can to stay on the right path, and, you know, handling money and like cash and never lying to my business partner, never cheating on my girlfriend, like always being helpful to my parents where they're growing older. And like I only have one brother and I have to take on that responsibility as a man or as a son. Like just having those strong values, good values, was what I'm proud of the most.
I love that response, because the ego, I mean, we need it because it drives us to hunt every single day.
Exactly.
But it is easy to kind of slip into that once you get a couple wins. Oh, I'm going to take my eyes off the prize and put it on some other things.
Yeah.
So kudos to you for really acknowledging that, because that's really the number one step, is just acknowledging that and like what your purpose is and having that faith of direction that you clearly are working on having for not just now, but the rest of your life. Again, thank you for this conversation. Last couple of questions I have are just to connect you with the audience.
Yeah.
What, if somebody heard you here today and they love what you were talking about and would love to connect you with you, what's the best way for them to do so?
I'm not as active on social media, to be honest, like compared to you, CJ. I'm not as active on social media, but I do
You got businesses to run.
Exactly. I do post from time to time on my personal IG. IHDLV stands for my full name, Isaac Huerta de la Vega. It's a full one. It's a long one. But IHDLV on IG, and me and my business partner, Max, have a podcast that we try to do like one episode a week, but sometimes with the businesses running and stuff, like it's been tough. Opening up a new location really set us back. But it's Huerta and Dominguez, like on YouTube. That's our business podcast. And we talk about life too. And then if you come to Cali, you know where to get your bikes from. Like if you come with family, friends, and or by yourself here in Santa Monica, Manhattan Beach, Redondo Beach, definitely come rent one of our bikes. We have e-bikes, we have e-scooters, we have regular beach cruisers, mountain bikes. It's a really fun time. So if you're around the area, hit me up.
Hell yeah, definitely reach out to Isaac if you're in the California area now or if you will be there in the future. Last question that we always ask everybody is, if you were to define the word thriving, how would you define it?
Oh, that's a tough one, bro. It's so subjective, but for me, thriving, I would say good health, like just being in good health, and because that allows everything else to happen. Like if I'm thriving, like I told my girl this morning, because when my parents here, when I have visits, like it throws off my whole like rhythm, right? Of like hitting the gym, nutrition, going to bed on time, stretching every night, and doing my, I know you're big onto the Theragun massage too, like I do that every night too. And to me, when I told my girlfriend this morning, like, I'm like, babe, like, I feel like I just haven't been taking care of my body. Like I'm aching everywhere. And if I think about thriving, I'm like, I definitely like my health is like, when I feel like my health is good, like I'm thriving. So to me, it's just like having good health, because everything else will run off the back of that.
I cannot believe that. I mean, this is episode like in the 270s. Mm-hmm. I can't believe I haven't had anybody say simply that.
Really?
I can't recall anybody saying simply just health. And there's a lot of people on here that like, we talk about health, yeah, the whole podcast. So I love how simple you kept that, because it's so true. I've been sick for a lot of my life, and having come out of that, any day that I feel off now, I'm like, holy shit, like I don't even know how I was like operating,
yeah,
back then. So it's just like, and I feel you on that. We had love my parents and my mother-in-law, but we had them out visiting for 3 weeks straight. And it's just, mm-hmm, like the juggling of business. And obviously you want to spend time with your parents, spending time with a significant other, spending time with yourself and doing the Theragun. So it's not easy, but it's so worth it. And I think that's where your new relationship with faith and something like that could be really useful. And just something I always tell myself is just like you said, show up. Mm-hmm. And that's where I'm going to wrap today. My favorite part of this episode was when you mentioned that, is just like, just keep showing up. I have never give up tattooed on my side. And it's just a reminder that there's always opportunity in today and tomorrow, as long as we just keep putting one foot in front of the other.
Exactly.
And I think you did a wonderful job in this episode of just talking about pivoting and just taking everything in stride. So you mentioned like getting kicked out of somewhere to live and just really just saying, you know what, I'm just going to go live at this other place. And then you take that same mentality into business and personal relationships and just making the best out of everything. Make the best out of everything. The best usually happens. So huge reminder from Isaac here today. I really loved having this conversation. It's been a blessing to kind of watch you along your journey and having you on here. Look forward in the future to seeing all the growth and bringing you back on. But for now, if you love this conversation with Isaac, please do the best thing that you can do for us, which is share this with somebody that you think that would find value from this. Somebody out there that is looking to start their own thing, buy their own business, or rent a bike in California. And give us that 5-star rating review, because that's what's going to help us show up for more people that would love to hear stories like Isaac's. Till next time, this is CJ Finley with the Thrive on Life podcast. Thrive on, y'all.
What's up, y'all? This is CJ again, and on behalf of the small team here at Thrive on Life, I'd like to thank you for listening to one of our episodes. Our mission in life is to help people like you fuel your passion and make every heartbeat count. And we realize the best way to do this is together as a team. So we'd love for you to join in on this mission and connect with like-minded individuals within our Thrive on Life community. To do so, please head to thriveonlife.com and connect with us there. We'd love to chat with you. Before I sign off, I'd like you to always remember one thing. When we strive together, we thrive together. So please do your part in helping others thrive on life.